If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. We'll be reading there in a couple of minutes. Now everybody's expecting Tim to be back and up here. I guess he's still a little bit sick. And so as I'm trying to figure out what to preach on, took one of my old lessons this morning and taught on it. I saw something on the internet that I thought might be good for all of us, including myself, because I have the same problem everybody else has on this. So, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit this morning in Bible study. So, maybe it's good that we teach upon it. Check it out. See what we need to understand. In 1 Samuel 16 chapter and verse 6 and 7. It came to pass, and when they were come, he looked upon Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeketh not a man as man seeth, but man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. We mentioned this morning about how God tries to decide and pick individuals to do certain things. The fact is, sometimes we have a problem as individuals that we like to take the individual as we see him and either make something out of him or try to destroy him. There's a problem with that because God sees us in a different light. As he was looking for the new king to take Saul's place, the one that Samuel thought would be qualified to be king over Israel weren't the ones that God approved of. And the one that Samuel never really thought of was the one that God loved and wanted to be the king over his people, to be the leader of them. I want to ask you this question tonight, and you think about it for a while, and you think upon these things when you go home. God measure of a Christian is often different from ours. And I want to ask you, what do you consider a strong measure or a measure of a strong Christian? Now, I had thought about asking Ken or Nathan or somebody to speak up and tell me who they thought would be a strong Christian. Who they would consider being strong. What qualities? What do they portray? What are they doing that will lead you to believe they're a strong member of the body of Christ? And we need to look upon these things because if Tim is going to be talking about the elders and the qualifications of the elders, you're going to actually see the attributes that we as Christians need to be having ourselves at all times, the way we should be handling ourselves. And maybe I'm going to be touching upon some of the things that Tim will be bringing up later on within his lessons and the qualifications of elders. But sometimes we need to take a good hard look at what sometimes we consider a strong Christian. It's not what God considered a strong Christian. If you took and read the book of the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, where it talks about the seven churches of Asia, the ones that consider themselves strong, going out and doing the work of the Lord and thought they were growing in the sight of God, were considered sometimes the weakest congregations there. And destruction was going to come upon them. I had a brother in a business meeting years ago, made the statement, well, this congregation don't need the milk. We need the meat of the Word. This congregation's been here for over 100 years. We need the meat. We no longer need milk. Well, that could be true. Congregation's been around for 100 years. Should desire the meat of the Word. Should be able to partake of the meat of the Word. That's not always true. I've seen congregations been around for over 100 years. It couldn't take the milk of the Word. And then I've seen congregations that have been in existence for only 2-3 years that could handle the meat, that are growing, that are prospering, that are constantly outdoing the work of the Lord. And they're putting all type of zeal and effort out in doing such. So I'm going to look at a few of the methods that sometimes we consider a strong Christian. And then I want to point out some things that we maybe never ever thought of a strong Christian. What about their attendance? We consider a strong member out of somebody that's always at attendance. Every time the Christians meet, he's there. Or she's there. She attends every service. Or they attend. They're at every gospel meeting. They're there constantly. They're taking part. They're praying. They're singing. They're asking questions, answering questions that are held in the Bible study. Would that truly make a strong Christian? Sometimes we consider those who are weak as those who only attend some of the services. And their participation, well, look at them. They're there all the time. They're taking part in classes. They're going to the Bible class teachers. And they're ready to step up to plate any time. You need a song leader? They're ready. You need somebody to lead the prayer? They're ready. Need somebody to teach a lesson? They're ready. They're constantly ready. But does that make a strong Christian? We may consider that one a strong Christian. But I'm going to show you later on here in a few minutes. That's not always the case. I know some that I've seen that took part like this and was able to do everything within in the worship service. And they even had the preacher within their own homes and kept them for the week when there's a gospel meeting for 2 weeks. But when you come to find out, sometimes it's only up front. They pretend to be a strong Christian. They're not always what they're pretending to be. They're supposing to be. I've known individuals that told their children to stay away from the house for them weeks or two that the preacher's staying with them because they don't want to look bad. Is that a strong Christian? Or is that a weak one? We need to question these things. Their leadership ability. Men that we consider strong Christians. Even though they do these things, are they qualified to be elders? Are they men that needs to be behind the pulpit, preaching God's Word? The women, are they strong Christians because they teach Bible class, because they help clean the building, they help prepare the communion? They do go out and visit the sick once in a while? Is that what we consider strong? Now, the problem with all these is that we tend to measure from the outside of man. And people can do all these things and still be spiritually weak. Destitute. They're hypocrites. And that they can exist with others that are like them. Brethren can remain in spiritual immaturity. Look at the church of Corinth. What did Paul tell the church of Corinth? He had men that were able to speak, maybe led singing, led prayers. But how were they in the sight of God in accordance to Paul? And we need to make sure that we're not in the same condition as these individuals. Sometimes we think, well, because he's a preacher, he speaks God's Word, he studies the Bible all the time, he prepares his sermon outlines, he's got his lesson ready at all times, he's a strong member. And we look upon those individuals as being that way. Now turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Beginning at verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let him prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. For ministry, let him wait on our ministry, and he that teacheth on teaching. For he that is his order for exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We all have a different ability. We all have a different talent, if you want to put it that way. And there are men that are able to stand up before an audience and be able to present God's Word in a good manner. But that does not make him a strong Christian. We're just like anybody else within the church. We're humans. We do have our faults. We do make mistakes. But sometimes you'll hear some congregations putting a man up on that pedestal, making him something that he ought not to be. And that's wrong. And when we get into that thought and that theory or that type of thinking, we will have major problems within that congregation. When that man has a tendency to leave that congregation and move on to another to work with them, maybe one quarter or maybe even half the congregation will leave. That's what we call sometimes preacheritis. I think we all heard that term to some degree. But that doesn't make for a strong Christian. We all use our ability in accordance to what God has given to us. But sometimes, because of these tendencies and the use of these type of measures that we use, we have the trouble with misjudging, misinterpreting what an individual truly is. Turn with me to James, the 4th chapter. And begin at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after some same sample of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, a joint and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is what I'm going to bring out tonight. I'm going to use God's Word. I'm going to try to help you think, including myself. Sometimes what we consider being a strong member of the body of Christ, it's not always that. But if he contains these qualifications, these attributes within his life, that's a true Christian. That's a strong one. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. For a brief moment. The 5th chapter. We begin in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In the preceding verses, he talked about how they were at one point. And the things they were involved in. Excuse me. That we were partaking in such activities. And when we became Christians, we put these things aside. And these are the spirit of God or the type of life we ought to be living. These are the qualifications of a Christian. These are the things that make a Christian strong. When they show these things within their life, this makes a strong Christian. If they do these things at all times, knowingly or not knowingly, among those outside and to the church members, that's a strong Christian. One that has the fruit of the Spirit. He is full of love. What's love? Well, willing sacrifice of himself for others. Look at Christ. The love of God. To send down His Son from heaven to live upon this earth as one of us and go through the persecution, the humiliation He went through that we can have salvation of our sins. We should be willing to love one another as individuals, as souls that needs to be saved, that we're willing to do anything we can to help lead that soul to eternal salvation. Are we willing to do that? How much love do you have for your fellow mankind? For his soul? Are you willing to teach him every opportunity you have? While you say, well, I don't want to be a burden on them. Be a burden to them if you want to be. Teach them. Work with them. Give them every opportunity they have to hear God's Word any way you can. And you can do that by your actions. You do these things naturally. If they need help, you're there for them. If they need prayers, you pray for them. Any way that I can be there, I'm there. That's the type of love I ought to have. If they need forgiveness, I forgive them. Even before they even ask of it, you should be willing to forgive them of what they've done. A lot of us don't portray that love. Yeah, they can lead singing. Yes, they can lead prayer. Yes, they can teach a lesson in the Scriptures. They can hold Bible study and be a good teacher in it. But if you don't have love, he's not a strong member of the body of Christ. This attitude, this type of lifestyle should be portrayed easily. But how do you even have to think about it? Should be firsthand. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Are you long-suffering? How many times have you become aggravated? I'll be one of the first ones. Years ago, I used to have added. If somebody had done something to me, said something the wrong way, I don't know what I thought. And sometimes they didn't even have to ask. I don't know what I thought. Not always came out the right way. May really cut to the heart sometimes. But I learned through experience. And trying to mature, and I still got a way to go on it. I try to be long-suffering. I try to work with that individual. I try to put myself maybe in their shoes a little bit, try to understand where they're coming from. But what's going on within their lifestyle? A strong Christian will do this. A strong Christian will be long-suffering. He'll put himself in their position. Try to be understanding. Well, maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he didn't quite mean it the way he said it. I'll talk to him when he calms down a little bit. We'll work it out. What we'll do, we just fly off the handle and say something we shouldn't have said back to that individual right at that time. And put ourselves in our own predicament at the same time that they're in. We need to realize this. We need to work on it. These things, when they become natural to you, that's a sign you're maturing. You're getting stronger. We talk about kids today being, well, immature. But sometimes the parents are immature. Because the way we act, the way we treat other individuals, the way we portray ourselves. We claim and tell them to do one thing, but we do the complete opposite ourselves. What do you think? Yes, there can be those who can preach God's Word and just blow their talk at the drop of a hat. Are they strong Christians? Not according to what Paul told the church of Galatia. We need to understand, we need to add these things to our lives. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, that thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Or do we walk in our house and say, you're going straight to hell, this is the way it is, you repent right now, you're done. Or do we walk up to them and try to put ourselves in their position? What happened? How can I help you? What can we do to help you overcome your faults, your problems? Yes. Christ at times got hard-hearted with, not hard-hearted, but I want to say it. He got really straightforward with the Pharisees at times. But you know, it took a while before he did that. He taught them. He answered their question. Up to a point. And then finally, he had enough of them. He said, "Oh ye hypocrites. Oh ye hypocrites. This is what you need to be doing. Be found righteous of God. You hypocrites, you need to do this." But he used it as a last resort. And we need to understand that as Christians. We need to understand that there are others that don't know the gospel as well as we do. And we need to be there and teach them. And watch them grow as they ought. But when after enough times going by, just like a child, you have to put your foot down. But you have to be long-suffering. You have to be forbearing. You need to put yourself in their position as one, what if it was me? How would I want them to come to me? How would I want them to speak? Colossians, the 3rd chapter, beginning verse 12. "Put on, therefore, if as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace to your heart, in your heart, to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and by the Father, by Him." These things should be natural to a Christian. We should be holy. We're elected of God. We should be trying to give our lives to perfection. We should be having kindness. Humbleness of mind. That's our hardest one. Really it is. I think that's a bigger problem than maybe forgiving one another. Because what's the first thing we say to ourselves? "I'm not like brother so-and-so." You see what he did? Do you see what sister so-and-so did? I'm not like her. I don't involve myself in that type of sin. How many times have we read the Old Testament and we talked about the tribe of Israel and how they always fell away from God, and we sit back and think to ourselves, "I would never do that. I would never neglect the will of God. Look at all the things they say. I will remember all these things. Not one time would I have complained through that 40 years of the wilderness about eating manna and quail. Would you? Do you really believe that? Sometimes, and years ago, when we didn't have much growing up, there's been times we ate the same food for days. And after about a week of it, you go, huh? Again? Can't we have something else? I mean, come on. I knew every Monday after dinner when I was growing up, we would have potato pancakes. Well, I used to like mashed potatoes and potato pancakes, but I finally got tired of seeing it. My mom used to like to make white or yellow or chocolate cake every Sunday, every Wednesday. I can't really stand to see the two anymore. Even though it's been years, I get tired of it. Now, put yourself in their shoes. And you're going to honestly say that I would never complain about the quail and the manna every day for 40 years? How many... We just fail to humble ourselves and realize, yes, I know what they've done. I need to go talk to them. Because I know there may be something I'm doing wrong that I don't realize. I need for them to come talk to me about those things and help me overcome these things. Make me realize what I'm doing wrong in the sight of God. And I need help. You need help. We need to understand, as we have always taught, we never get to heaven alone. We work with each other. We help each other to get there. And that's what I'm pleading with you this evening. These things should be part of our lives. And they should be to the point, and it takes time for these things to become part of us. Because we're so used to doing things the opposite. Somebody punches me in the face, what's the first reaction you're going to have? You're going to jump back up, slug them back. Takes a while to stand there and say, well, maybe I deserve that. And get back up and say, here, the other one. But that's the attitude we need to have. We're willing to forgive our brethren. Are we caring about one another as we ought to? Excuse me. Are we taking God's word and applying it to our lives as we ought to? We need to work on these things. And as we talked about preachers, he can preach a great sermon. What about his life? Excuse me. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, in verse 11, talks about those who are preaching God's Word. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession among before many witnesses. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verse 22, says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of the pure heart. But at the same time, he gives us a warning what they're not to be like. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. As I said, we need to fight the good fight. Lay hold of eternal life that thou art called. Live a professed life. 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, begins verse 23. If we talked about flee the youthful lust and be out of pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that thou do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, that God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken by him, by his will. But you know what happens to a lot of young men that preach the gospel? I'm not saying all. Some. Sometimes the congregation will put them up on a pedestal and they start thinking that way. And then they'll say, well, look what I've done. Instead of giving God the credit. And then they'll start getting an attitude that I'm always right. So guess what I found in the Scriptures? If you disagree with me, you're liberal. And we got men out there that are acting that way and preaching God's Word. And we need to understand that. That's not part of being a mature, grown-up Christian. A strong Christian. The elders, if we're going to be talking about, are to be married and have children who believe. That's in Titus 1, verses 5 and 6. But have you seen elders that are quick to anger? They'll argue at the drop of a hat instead of trying to work with the individual and trying to teach them the right way. Congregation, when I was growing up in Pennsylvania, their elders partook in a lot of things that I could not believe elders would be involved in. Social drinking, start sending support to the orphan homes, the Herald of Truth, things in this order. And when they were confronted, they didn't want to talk. They just got mad and tried to put you in your place. And couldn't give scriptures for anything they backed up and done. And there are elders like that. And that's why we need to be careful of the men that we pick. In the lifestyle that they live, do they portray these type of things at all times? Members, young and old, yeah, they may be attending faithfully. They may be at every service. But is their conduct becoming of the stage in their life that it ought to be? Have you seen a change in an individual the longer they've been there with you? Should be able to tell by the Bible study, by the way they talk, by the way they treat others, by the way they act. If you see them out in town, how are they acting? How are they dressed? Have they grown? Have they matured? Or are they just acting just like they did the day they became a member? Just like a child. You feed them. You take care of them. You provide the things for them. Then they start walking. Then you try to teach them where they can go and where they can't go and what things they're allowed to do, what not. And you keep teaching them. And you see the growth. You see their knowledge increase. You see how they portray themselves. But the fact is, sometimes when you just let a child raise himself, and this is where the problem of the church comes in. When we let them raise themselves, they're not what they ought to be. I had a woman when I spanked my child in a store, and this has been 30 years ago at least. She walked up and said, I turn you over to the authorities for spanking your child in the store. I said, well, fine. You go ahead and turn me in. I'm trying to stop him from robbing your house in 20 years. Now, which one do you want? I can let him go and throw his fit and give in to him. He may end up robbing you 20 years from now. Well, I can correct him now, try to teach him respect for the law, and try to raise a decent citizen. Your choice. She had nothing to say. She didn't know how to reply. But we need to understand. We need to mature as Christians. We need to grow. And just because one looks good, don't always mean they're what they're cracked up to be, as statement would be. They're not what they always seem to be. And we need to understand that. Just as God made the statement to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, chapter and verse 7. I do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to let you think about it. Go home and think about it. Am I maturing as a Christian? What do I consider a strong member of the body of Christ? If my lifestyle, in comparison to what Galatians and Colossians had to say, do I show those type of attributes? Do I do those type of things? Are we growing in them? That's the question. We don't get those overnight. Since we become baptized and grows up, we're automatically all these things. No, we have to work on them. We have to train ourselves. And we do that by studying God's Word and applying it to ourselves and not to somebody else. Until we do so, we will never grow. We'll never be that mature Christian. We'll never be that strong member of the body of Christ. You think about those things. Now, maybe one here this evening has not yet become obedient to God's will. You must hear His Word. You must believe that Christ came upon the face of the earth, died for you and me. That He rose up on the third day, back to His Father. Resurrected. You must be able to repent of your sins. Be willing to change your whole life, as we talked about in the book of Galatians and Colossians. Be willing to change your life and live that type of life. Those attributes. And apply them to your life. And not live for yourself. You must be baptized by immersion. You must confess first. Then baptized by immersion. Then live a faithful life unto death. Grow. Just like a child would. Add to your knowledge. Temperance. Patience. Brotherly kindness. Godliness. Things that Peter talked about in his book. Then there may be one here this evening has become a member, fallen away, brought reproach upon themselves, upon the body of Christ. You need to come up. We'll go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of your sin. It's your soul, your destiny. Only you can answer how you stand before God. You think about these things as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.